Welcome to the fusion of golf, music, sports, and entertainment. Golf Talk America with Tim Matthews and Frank Bassett. Take it away, boys.
Hello, once again, everybody. Welcome to Golf Talk America. Tim Matthews with you, and we got a lot to talk about today. So thanks so much for being with us. As always, we really appreciate it. We have, of course, the Genesis Open happening at Riviera, a very frozen tundra of Riviera, as it turned out, for at least a couple of practice rounds in the last couple of days. But El Tigre is showing his face back again, and we'll see what happens. We'll talk to our good friend Art Selinger about that and some other things involving golf when we get to it. Art will be joining us here in just a little bit. In the meantime, Frank Bassett in our Nashville studios. How you doing, Frank?
Just wonderful. How are you?
Glad to hear it. I'm doing pretty good.
You know in pre-show how good I'm doing.
Yeah, I know. That's okay. Life's a challenge, Frank. Life's a challenge, right?
Oh, it's a pain.
But you know what? You always get through it. So that's what you have to think of. We all get through it.
I know.
So yeah. It's going to be okay. It's going to be okay. We have a new number one in the world. Once again, Dallas's Scottie Scheffler wins in Phoenix and catapults himself back ahead of Rory to number one in the world. So what did you think about Phoenix? Did you enjoy watching that?
Absolutely loved it. Especially like the former PGA Tour rules official running half naked across. That was a streaker. I'm sorry.
I thought that was
Slugger. Wasn't that Slugger White? I enjoyed the tournament. It was a lot of fun.
It was a lot of fun. They seemed to have a good time, as always.
That looks a whole lot like a live event. It really does.
Well, we talk about this all the time about. You know, there are some that just concede and say, well, for that one tournament, Phoenix, it's okay that they're kind of crazy and all that. That'll be okay for. But we don't want that. And I'm going, you know what? Why is it only good for one tournament?
I'm not saying
everything works everywhere and everything. And I certainly don't agree that, you know, they start throwing bottles and all this stuff when guys are getting close to holes. Okay, that's a little bit. I get it. I'm not saying everything is. But at the same time, don't you want whatever event you're putting on for the fans, the people that are paying them to be entertained? And they certainly seem very entertained at Phoenix.
Entertained or overserved.
Well, whatever. But I don't think, as far as I don't know. I didn't look at the police blotter, but I don't know that there are a lot of arrests or anything, right?
No, you don't hear about a
lot of criminal activity. So yeah, I get you're saying that, you know, it could be out of hand, but it seems like it's, other than the raucousness of it, it seems like it's in control. So that's all I'm saying is I think if other tournaments, and I'll say this, the Byron Nelson coming up in a couple of months here will be played at Craig Ranch again. Well, they and probably a lot of others have done the entire 16th hole replica, if you will. The 17th hole at Craig Ranch is totally enclosed in bleachers and grandstands three stories deep or high. So I think other people are looking at it. And again, some are just saying, well, one hole. Well, okay. And I get it. You can't do that on every hole, but I'm rambling, but I did enjoy it. It was fun to watch Phoenix. It was a good time. It was a lot of fun.
And I said it looked like a lot like a live event. It had the fun, the excitement of what I saw when I went to the Miami live event, LIV Golf, Live Golf.
Yeah.
But live is not quite as raucous because
Phoenix was a bit more.
Yeah. Phoenix was more, yeah. Live was more controlled. It was a lot of fun, but.
But it's
fun.
Wise,
it's entertainment.
Right?
It's entertainment. Now,
yeah.
So is the Super Bowl. It's entertainment. You know. Yeah. Speaking of which, so
yeah. I just all I'm saying. Final thought is again that is what the paying customers and for people that want to be and that's I'm speaking probably to my age group, right? Silver haired people that want to say, well, here's how we've always okay, but don't we always know that. At some point, the Beatles came along, you liked them then, and now whatever the Rolling Stones are now or whoever, you're kind of like, oh, how dare. Well, that was the same when you were 18 years old.
The Stones
right?
want to be in wheelchairs on stage.
You want to be entertained, so let people get entertained, right?
Yeah, it's entertainment.
And the young people have to be, you know, let's be honest, they're not going to pay money and continue to go to baseball games and be bored and golf tournaments and be bored. They want to be entertained, or they won't go.
You know, minor league baseball suffered through that. A good friend of mine years and years ago was with the Yankees organization, and he also owned like five minor league baseball teams after that. And his big deal was bringing in the entertainment. I mean, because they couldn't get people to come to the minor league games. Bull Durham had a lot to do with that, with the crazy clown and all the shenanigans that go on the baseball field,
right,
to make it a family event, a fun event. So, and this was, I mean, you know, Phoenix or Scottsdale, whatever you want to call it, is, and it was a blast. And Scotty Scheffler didn't have his best stuff on Sunday, if you remember.
No,
he couldn't hit a fairway.
I couldn't.
He couldn't hit a fairway. But he won.
To the Bryson DeChambeau example, there's a name we haven't talked about lately.
Yeah.
Hitting fairways apparently isn't all it's cracked up to be.
As long as you have that distance, yeah.
If you got distance and you can play it, I get it. You don't want to be underneath a tree. But if you can get to it, then I guess they'd rather be 340 down wherever they're going to be than 290 and in the fairway.
Yeah, what happened to McIlroy? He just
nothing.
No. I mean,
just kind of faded away into par oblivion. Yeah.
Well,
and he is, by the way, the one of, along with Tiger, the number one critics of LIV Golf, and so a lot of people are waiting to the Masters and say, okay, how's all that going to play out? Because I don't know how they're going to manipulate the pairings. But there certainly is a possibility that a LIV player will play with a Rory
someone.
Or Justin Thomas.
They just won't talk. It'll be like Patrick Reed, and they won't talk. The Patrick Reed issue is going to be the fun one at the Masters.
Oh, boy.
We talked
about Genesis. The defending champion is Joaquin Niemann.
Yes.
Guess what?
He can't play.
He's a LIV Tour, so he can't play. So there you're seeing the impact. You're seeing, do you like that or not? Well, he should have a chance to defend his title, should he not? I mean,
I would think
it should be that simple. He didn't do anything wrong other than, he went over and played here. Well, how dare you? And he's not playing. It just, there's consequences, you know. So we'll see how that all continues to play out. Yeah. Again, Art Selinger will have an opinion.
Oh, yeah.
We love our opinionated people on all this stuff.
Do. Yes,
hey, you mentioned Super Bowl, Frank.
Yeah,
and who won? And so we haven't talked since Super Bowl. And what a game! What a game! Did you enjoy it?
I absolutely loved every minute of it, and I love the fact that the Philadelphia defender, after the game, you know, the call, I can't remember who it was on.
Owned it. Yeah,
he owned it. He said, "Hey, I grabbed his jersey. I didn't think I'd get caught. I got caught." So it was a penalty. It's legit.
Yeah.
So he just shut that down real fast.
Well,
so
it was a correct call. Now people would say, "Well, don't do it at that time." Well, okay. Well, if he doesn't, don't you think the same number of people that complained would complain on the Kansas City side, saying he held the guy clearly, right? So you can't win if you make the call. But I was happy with it because I wanted the Chiefs.
I did too. I picked the Chiefs, if you remember.
Yes. Yeah. I think we both did. We both did. And part of it is I just can't allow
myself. Steve owes us money, doesn't he?
Pick Philadelphia.
Yeah. Johnson owes us money.
I think he does. From last week's show.
Yes, he does. We had a bet.
He thought. And Philadelphia, this is what's weird about the game too, Frank, is that Philadelphia, did they not seem to be pretty much in control of that game until suddenly in the fourth quarter, the Chiefs took the lead, right, with a touchdown and went ahead 28-27. And you're kind of going, how did that happen? And I'm sure that the Eagles were saying the same. Were we not? If they had come out and done with it, it looked like they were ready to, at any point, to be up by 2-3 touchdowns. And yet, Kansas City hung in there, and sure enough, end of the game.
Well, they changed their whole game plan in the second half because, you know, Mahomes' ankle was hurt again.
Yeah.
So, and when he went down, I'll tell you, when he went down, I went, uh-oh.
I know.
Uh-oh.
Every time he'd run, right? If you're a Chiefs fan, if you're running, you'd be like, no, go down. Yeah. And he kept running.
He saved that game. I mean, his run put him in position.
End, right?
Yeah. And then what smart play to slide down on the 2 or 3 yard line.
Yep.
You know, instead of going in and giving him the ball back, you know.
So many coaches tell their players to do this, do that. And then in the excitement of the moment, the player does the exact opposite thing, and you see the coaches standing there, like, right, with that look on their face or with their hands out, going, what did we just talk about? Did I not say to keep the ball in bounds or whatever they do? And in that case, they said, we talked about it. Go down at the 1, which gives you a first down. We run the clock down. And that's exactly what that guy did. And you could see that the Eagles, and I haven't said to the people I was here around, I said, they're not going to stop them. They knew the only way to get the ball back was to let them score a touchdown. And sure enough, Philadelphia just kind of was jogging on that play. If you watch it, they weren't going to try to tackle the guy, and he knew that. He could have easily scored, and he went down to 1, and you know the Eagles were like, it's the last thing we wanted them to do. We wanted them to look at the goal line and go, yes, I can score a touchdown in the Super Bowl, and he stopped at the 1. So anyway, that was pretty good. Pretty good game.
Yep, it was a really good game.
And I won $100, so good.
Yeah, there you go. Okay.
Good all the way around.
My bride won $200 in her
good
pool.
For her?
Yeah. And it was for a charity thing. Kids for a Little League baseball team were selling squares. And she won $200. Guess what? She donated it back.
To the Little League Baseball Benevolent Fund?
No. That's why I was torn up.
To the car tire fund?
Back. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. That's, I don't know.
You could use it $200 now, couldn't you, Frank?
And plus another $200 for that tire. Yeah. One tire. Yeah. One pothole. One tire. No, but she donated it back to the Little League baseball team. I thought that was, that's her. She's first.
I was actually in a pool at a restaurant here, a steakhouse, that somebody said, hey, we're doing, okay, fine. And it's $100 a square. Well, that adds up pretty quick, right? The winner at the end for, I guess, fourth quarter or the winning, I can't, how it all adds up. $4,000 was the final. Everybody else, I think, during the quarters got like $1,400 per quarter. And that guy, he got $4,000. That's the kind of pool.
I like those pools.
I didn't win any on that one. Yeah,
I like those. But do they 1099 pool. You with that? I mean.
Yeah, I'm sure they do, Frank, right? Everybody keeps up with those. That's where
well,
the
with the new
like,
with the 87 new agents, they're going to keep up with that.
Yeah, they're going to. Yeah, those agents. I wouldn't wait on that job.
With weapons, they're going to give them Glocks. God, the Gestapo is in the front yard. Oh, dang. God, don't even go there, Frank. Don't start.
Well, let's take a break and get Art in here. Art's a busy guy and former long drive champion, and so let's see what Art's up to.
Art the Selinger. Okay, well, get us out of here. You the man.
Okay, well, we're going to take a break, and Art Selinger will join us. You don't want to miss this. You're listening to Golf Talk America, and we will be back with Art Selinger right after this.
Looking to kickstart a keto diet in the new year? Green Chef makes eating well easy with plans to fit every lifestyle. Whether you're keto, paleo, vegan, vegetarian, gluten-free, or just looking to eat more balanced meals, Green Chef offers a range of recipes to suit your preferences. And that includes breakfast, lunch, and dinner, plus meal bundles at the Green Market. You can choose from USDA-certified organic ground beef, USDA-certified organic chicken, and wild-caught, my favorite, sockeye salmon. Need meals in a hurry? Try Green Chef's 10-minute lunches. No cooking required, perfect for when you're on the go or pressed for time at the office or wherever you may be pressed for time. My favorite, I said earlier, is the salmon. It's delicious, easy to prepare, and saves me so much time. Ready to start eating well and saving time? Go to greenchef.com/golfer60 and use the code golfer60 to get 60% off plus free shipping. No, I'm not kidding, folks. It's 60% off plus free shipping when you go to greenchef.com/golfer60 and use the code golfer60. That's GOLFER60. Write it down, greenchef.com/golfer60, and use code golfer60 to get 60% off plus free shipping. Green Chef, the number one meal kit for eating well.
And welcome back to Golf Talk America. Tim Matthews and Frank Bassett with you. Hey. Let's see. We cleared the deck, Frank, on Phoenix Open. We got the
Super Bowl out of the way.
There about the Super Bowl. Got that taken care of. I think we've taken care of old business. Now let's look at what's ahead, and that is the Genesis. And that is Tiger Woods, who announced during Phoenix that, hey, I think I'm going to play. I'm ready to play some. Nobody really was expecting that. And here we go. We'll see starting today, being Thursday that we're recording, that he'll be out there with everybody else. First round of the Genesis Open. Art Selinger, two-time World Long Drive champion, joins us to talk a little bit about that and other golf-related things. Artie, how you doing today?
Gents, it is a pleasure to be back. It's been a while, and it's exciting. You know, when you take 2 weeks in a row, like you're saying, the waste management was phenomenal, just fun to watch. It really, I know everybody on tour, a lot of events have tried to create some sort of atmosphere, but there's only one WM Open and one feel like that. I mean, it is just crazy. And then you lead into LA, Genesis, and of course, Tiger in the field, and that obscure pairing that came out of the hat was incredible there, how they did it. Just out of the hat with Rory and Justin and for prime time. But I love it. It's great. It's great for the game. But what about the disparity when you look at who's in this field and then you look at some of the other fields when these players just won't play, you know, Hawaii, Honda, and so many others. But this week is going to be exciting, and he would not tee it up on that first hole if he didn't think he could win the golf tournament or at least walk 72 holes.
That would be a win. 72 holes of walking would be a win in my books.
So to that point, Art and Frank, is he being realistic with himself? I mean, I'll go out first and say I don't think there's a chance in hell he wins his tournament. Is he being realistic with himself that I don't play unless I'm going to win? Is that just
Tiger speak, that he has to
say that?
I mean, he has to say that because he's believed that since he's two at anything, whether and that goes to ping pong or that goes to just getting the needle out. It doesn't really matter whether it was he wants to win. He can hit the ball good enough to win. He can putt it good enough to win. But the ironic thing is when he had that same repeatable schedule in his day when he won all these tournaments, you know, he never won at Riviera. And I think that kind of chaps him a little bit too. But I don't think he tees it up, you guys, unless he really thinks he can play. And the word on the street is during practice and what have you. I mean, he's playing and shooting scores. Again, it's can he walk?
Yeah. Yeah. It's going to be tough. They had practice rounds the last couple of days. I don't know if you guys saw the show.
And 40 degrees. 40
freezing.
Degrees.
It's in the 30s.
Oh,
yeah.
God.
The wind was gusting. Everybody had hoodies on. And I mean, it looked like.
Well, that's LA, isn't it?
Yeah. It looked like they're all going skiing. I mean, it was crazy how the weather, I guess it'll clear up a bit this weekend and maybe not be quite as cold. They were saying the wind chills were even in the 20s for some of these guys in their practice.
Wow.
It's not exactly what you go there.
No, that's not good for the leg.
Why is Riviera not a good place for Tiger? I'm assuming, Art, because you've played everywhere in the world, that you've played Riviera probably multiple times. Why is that not a good layout for him, apparently?
It makes no sense, really, because he won so many on Torrey, which is Poana Greens. He won a lot at Pebble, which is Poana Greens. He grew up in Southern California.
Right.
And he just might be just snake bit there. You know, let's remember, am I right, Frank, on this one? Didn't Billy Mayfair beat him in a playoff there one time?
Yes, he did.
You know, so something like
that.
That's
how bad it is.
It just
Riviera's a tough walk, Art. You know that.
It is a tough walk. Hey, I'll tell you what, just to go up to that first tee from the range and then go down that hill, of course, the hill on 18. I don't know why, Tim, to answer your question, it just hasn't happened there for him. Back then, he wasn't as great a driver, in a sense, and a few foul balls there, the Kikuyu rough, but really, those Poana Greens, I don't know why he's won 8 times everywhere else, you know, whether it was Bay Hill, Torrey, and Akron and all these other places where he dominated Doral, and yet at Riv he can't get it done. But it's why people are going to tune in. How many more eyes are going to be on their computers and watching this afternoon on television because he's playing? I mean, it's insurmountable what he brings to the table.
And we will certainly, we're talking with Art Zellinger, Long Drive aficionado, and we're going to talk a little bit about, I got a couple of questions about long driving for you there, Artie. The other thing about this tournament, Scotty Scheffler, Highland Park's very own Scotty Scheffler, returns to number one in the world. Here's some fun facts for you guys that, and maybe something everybody knows, so maybe it's not that out there as far as knowledge about it. Finishing a whole year, starting a year as Scotty in January as number one, and going the entire year at number one is almost impossible. And having said that, the guy we're talking about, Tiger, has done it multiple times where he's the entire year been number one. Other than Tiger, there's been two other guys. That's it. Two other guys since they've been doing the rankings.
Norman.
And who do you think those guys are?
Norman and Nicholas.
Well, they didn't keep the rankings with Nicholas, but yes.
Yeah. Norman's one.
And then the other one would have been DJ.
No.
No,
Nick Faldo.
Faldo,
you're correct.
When calendar year as number one.
That's a trick question.
That's how hard it is to be number one.
It is. But Tiger had such an insurmountable point lead that he was almost uncatchable, but yet he was still winning at one time. You know, he went 9 tournaments in a year. When you build that kind of lead and you're playing that good, and, I mean, you're just getting points every week. Remember, 142 straight cuts. I mean, he was number one for so many weeks. It was sick. Now it's a little trade-off between Rahm, you know, of course, between Scheffler, Rory. And if somebody gets on a streak and wins a couple big ones or a major, the points are big. And then then you have a few off weeks and the other guy wins. And now you just keep trading. And I think this is the epitome of what the rankings are, because nobody has ever separated themselves like Tiger separated themselves. And again, you know who's never been number one?
Phil Mickelson.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yep.
Right. And try to figure that out.
Yeah.
Guy wins over 40 times and wins six majors, and
he overlapped.
Never been number one.
The wrong time, right?
Yeah.
I mean, he kind of had
born at the wrong time.
Tiger, by the way, was number one for entire years. Just to give you a reference here, I said, okay, Faldo 1 year and Norman 1 year. Tiger did it for the entire years of 2000, 01, 02, 03, 09, 06, 07, 08, and 09. I mean, it's like he only had a couple of years in there almost for the entire 99 till 2012 that he wasn't number one. So it's – and on and on. We know all the numbers for Tiger, but still it's going to come down to he's 47. He just turned 47 at the end of last year.
Right.
And age is undefeated, right? I mean, there's no way you're not the same guy that you were. You're smarter and all these other things. But as far as physical goes, when it comes to athleticism, it's hard for you to swing the club as fast at – and Art's 39 himself. He's getting older. It's hard to swing the club. It's hard to swing the club the same speed. When did you start breaking down? When did your body and your swing speed and everything really start to go, and you're like, I just can't catch up to where I was?
Well, surgery number six happened before I was 30, so I was pretty much cooked. And I didn't take care of myself. You know, I didn't know what the heck to do. And all of this stuff back in the 80s and early 90s didn't exist, the Tiger effect of working out. Working out for me was, you know, that was a good fork. And, Tim, you've sat through many meals with me, and I'll tell you what. I eat from the black tees, and I never found the gym before. So, yes, you break it down. But Tiger had great speed. Brandel really did a nice in-depth analysis at the father's son. He still, when he wanted to, was up there at 117, 118. He's got plenty of speed to play, precision iron play. It's just walking. What I worried about, like at Southern Hills, he looked so good playing practice rounds on Saturday and Sunday, but you know, he could have taken carts during those practice rounds and he didn't. But time Friday or Saturday came, he was done, and he seems to be really good. And that's why he made a couple cuts in those majors. But you know, I don't know how Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday went for him. And that's the big nugget right there. We'll see. It's just you'll see if he's limping, if he's hanging back, if he can't get to that front foot, how is he moving? But as far as the skills go, he's the only one that doesn't have to get the reps. It won't be a rep issue to me.
Yeah.
It really won't be. It's just going to be a walking issue.
We see the Tiger. A lot of guys have nice fades on the PGA Tour, right? Some guys hit their draws, and it used to seem to me that the draw was a shot everybody wanted, right? It gets them more into the wind.
It's gone. It's 100% gone. It's gone.
And it seems like is it part of it is the body thing? Like when you're breaking down like Tiger and you don't have the physical, is a fade an easier shot on your body than?
No, the fade is the most natural thing and it's the most controllable shot. You know, you really have to swing from in to out. These players at a higher level do not want to swing the club out to right field. The draw will require you to hang back a little bit more, work underneath. It's so much easier to work on top of the golf ball. It's what we do when the ball's on the ground. You can cover it. And with today's very, very low spinning drivers, low spinning shafts, and golf balls, you actually can hit a fade almost. I mean, see, it stays in the air longer. These guys are hitting what's called going fades, and they hit it miles, literally miles.
Right.
It's just an easier shot to hit the fade. Look at Rahm off the tee, you know, hitting the cuts. There's really only one great player to me that can hit the best controlled draw on the planet right now, and that's Xander Schauffele off the tee. You know, he swings in to out. It's his natural action. As Homa says, I think my caddy allows me to hit one every 2 weeks, a draw. It's just a hard shot to hit. And again, it used to really be penalizing with, you know, a small metal wood at 180 cc's where there really wasn't much heel room. And again, these clubs spin so low and they can set them up. These guys want to eliminate one side, and the left side elimination is the best way to go. And you're right. The juniors come in my shop. They want to hit draws so it can hit and roll on that launch monitor and go, go, go. But they end up waking up and trying to hit a fade. They do.
We're talking with Art Zellinger, two-time World Long Drive champion. And I want to tie this in here a little bit, Art, with there's a Dallas golf show that's coming on, and you're a good friend and a guy you worked with a long time, Kyle Berkshire, two-time World Long Drive champion.
Yeah.
Has credentials like yourself, but is kind of otherworldly. That, and he, by the way, played at North Texas, at University of North Texas, and very good golfer. But I just want to get a reference here. So Tiger's ball speed, or let's say DeChambeau or Scheffler or whoever, what would their ball speed be just to take? And I'll tell you what Berkshire's is, just to let people out there know.
Well, average on tour right now is hovering right at about 114, 115. When you're really moving it, like when they really want to go, you get into the Finau, Dustin Johnson, Rory McIlroy world, you're going to get into those low to mid 120s, maybe 120. Or that was club, I'm sorry, ball speed, 180. 182s, and then Cameron Young can get it up there, 189, 90. I didn't know the golf show was, it's coming shortly. Whoever's listening and you're anywhere within the DFW area, if you want to see the most powerful, violent golf swing, honestly, in the history of the game, think about everybody who's ever done this. And I mean, in his day, Jamie was that guy. But Kyle, I just cannot fathom. You want to tell the number of ball speed, how fast?
Yeah, Frank, take a guess. He's and so as Art just so Rory, said, top pros are in the 180 to 190.
180 to 90 is lethal. There's a couple
135
players.
Oh, you've watched. You see what I was going to say, you liar. 233. He hit a 233.
See, I was close.
You were very close.
So I'll just give everybody
too much
a reference
time to go to Google.
There. Here's an easy reference, Tim. And by the way, I got to make one more quick point back on your lefty deal.
Okay.
Why do a lot of lefties win at Augusta? Because they get to hit fades coming home, and it's easier to hit. Mike Weir, Phil Mickelson, one other lefty won as well, Bubba Watson. Because you get to cut it under pressure, and that is why it's a dream. That's why Tiger on 13 has to hit 3-wood. So a right-to-left golf course is a lefty's paradise. Just remember that one. But as far as, again, this ball speed, if you've never seen this live and in person, so if he gets up and flushes it, like he can just, you can't believe, and he flushes it, and then you take a Tony Finau that flushes it, okay, I'm telling you it's close to a football field apart. Now, Bryson's at another level because Bryson can get up there at 215 when he was going long drive. But we had this conversation a couple of years ago, and I said he's going to destroy himself physically, which he did, destroyed his hand, his back. He's not the same player. He's lost the bulk. He figured it out. He had it when he was at that 195 range, and he had that gas and can control that speed. He was so lethal. But then he tried to go, and he's pals with you know, Kyle. Next thing you know, he's trying to go 215, and I mean, equipment doesn't hold up, and it's just not working. We don't have a measuring device right now in a sense of how he's playing, because he's playing the live tour and he really hadn't dominated out there. So we'll see how he plays in maybe some other tournaments. I don't know.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting. I'd like to see him again. It seems like we haven't even seen DeChambeau in forever, and that's interesting you'd say that, Art. I didn't realize that. We say he bulked up and now he's down again. Has he lost like 15-20 pounds?
He really has. He's not trying to hit it as hard. He's going through some major stuff right now. He's not with Cobra anymore. You know, he broke that contract, and those guys, I'll never forget the day I drive up to Dallas National. I see the huge PGA Tour truck, not a demo van, but a PGA Tour semi-trailer in the parking lot at Dallas National, because we help them with their fitting studio in the back at our golf shop. We do all their building, and I'm going, what is going on here today? Well, they were all there for Bryson. There were six technicians there trying to dial him in with a driver. They bring the tour trailer there. So right now he's equipment fishing, and there's nobody more unique and difficult to work with. Ben Showman at Cobra has been quoted online. I'm not making this up or eating. I mean, he just throws his arms up in the air. He's like, we spent so much money, tried everything possible, and because again, he's playing single length irons that are 7 to 8 degrees more upright than normal. The weighting he needs, the shafts he uses, the driver he wants at 6 degrees, I mean, it's ludicrous to make him equipment. So I don't know how he's going to do equipment, because he was seen at Ping. He played a TaylorMade driver. So, and good luck reinforcing those faces, because they could break on any swing as well.
So is he somebody that people want? Are you saying it's too much of a headache? Will manufacturers not want to go down that road, or will they want to?
I think they know it's a headache, because again, they got their hands full. It's just, he's the most unique player on the planet. And again, his physics mind of how things need to be. I know how much Cobra to develop that. I mean, he spent at sometimes 2 weeks in a row out there developing that single length set the way he wanted it. I mean, golf clubs are not meant to be built that way, and not meant to be bent that way and weighted that way and the shafts he wants to play. And then if he changes his action, but again, he wants sometimes a 4-degree, 5-degree driver, and wants it's the, some of the things he wants. It's tough. So I don't know who he's going to end up with, but you know,
do you have a guess?
I don't. I think he's just going to play free agent. You know, he's not playing Bridgestone. He switched over to a Pro V1 left dash. He doesn't have a contract.
See, Tim, what I tell you. What I tell you, Art, do you still have some left dash Pro V1?
You're comparing yourself with Bryson now?
You got 200 dozen in stock, Pro. Anything you want.
I'm going to need another 5 dozen. I'll call your guy.
There's Frank.
You and DeChambeau.
Yep. Y'all shipped me, I think, 4 or 5 dozen a while back. So
I don't.
That's my favorite ball.
I don't know where he ends up, you guys. I really don't.
How about PXG? Isn't there a macho thing going to PXG? Wouldn't they be perfect?
The new ball? Oh, you mean PXG? Well,
for DeChambeau.
Well, they're a sponsor. Easy.
Wouldn't they be a commercial for him? Don't you think? Period.
Play this golf ball. Period. I don't know. I don't know if they want to mess with him. I don't know who wants to mess with him, and what they really have to reinforce that face. And this, it's a lot of work. I know how much Callaway has spent to build a long drive specific golf club, and Cobra has a long drive specific golf club. Those are the two only OEMs that have long drive specific clubs. And that's,
you guys crush the face. You would crush the face on my driver, Tim's driver, whatever. I mean, still probably to this day.
So would Rory McIlroy. They go through drivers. They go, especially 3-woods, because there's no limitations on the 3-woods.
Well, remember,
thinner as it gets.
Remember the Tour Edge 3-wood that was so hot many years ago?
Sure.
Because it was that trampoline effect, and it was so thin. And
yep.
That's the only one that Snedeker played
every other week, aren't you?
Yeah, every other week.
Yeah, those are wedges, but he's breaking them over his knee.
Right.
Speaking, I brought a PXG, Art. They got a ball coming out now. Is that a big deal? Not a big deal. Is it smart to get in the ball business?
I'm not knocking anybody. They didn't build a ball plant. They're working with somebody to develop a golf ball. You know, when Nike got in the ball business, they didn't build ball plants. They went to Bridgestone. You know, I mean, there's designs out there. It all depends what you're looking for. He's just selling a stamp and a name, both on clothing, on accessories, on golf balls. And, you know, it's but as far as R&D, and you want to talk about golf ball development, then you talk about Strixon, Titleist, not in any particular order, and you talk about Callaway, and you talk about TaylorMade. I mean, those guys are in the ball business. Everybody else is just finding somebody that is a golf ball producer, and just it's a stamp. And I'm sure it's a fine golf ball. It's just a golf ball with their name stamped on it, but he didn't get in the R&D ball business. I promise you, that's a road you better be careful if you're going to get on.
Here's the inside scoop that I heard about this golf ball from PXG, from a little bird. When he hired those guys away from another company there in the Phoenix area that made really nice golf clubs, still does. They had a non-compete for, I believe, a minimum of a year. So he took those guys and put them all in a room with some golf ball boys and said, okay, since you can't do anything on the clubs, start working on this on the front end, because this is where we're going to go eventually. So
to design a ball.
I think there was a lot of pre-work put in ahead of that. I don't know if that's totally true or not, but that's just what someone told me. So I don't know, you know. I'm anxious to – they have some on the way to me, and I'm anxious to hit them. And I told them, I said, I hit the left dash Pro V1X, and that's my ball of choice, my favorite golf ball, best golf ball I've ever hit. I love it.
Yeah.
It works for me. So I don't know. It's going to be hard for me to change. And like I said, Artie, saved me at least 5 dozen. So
you got it. And I won't make any comments about the PXG golf ball. Okay. Just like I won't make any comments about the PXG driver. Yes. You know you have a good driver when a player who – here's the way I define this. When a player has a corporate contract and they have nothing but club freedom and they can choose driver of their choice, just name me a player that has chosen their driver because they think it's the best.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
you can have a month to figure that one out. Well, that still won't come up with a name.
How's that TSR?
TSR is great. The new paradigm is phenomenal. I'll tell you, Cobra's making a lethal, scary driver. Strixon's making a lethal, scary driver. The Ping is well, really good. They're all making good. They all make great golf clubs. They really do. And so you just see how hard these guys are hitting it, how straight, you know, the equipment's never been better. I mean, you can't go wrong out there. You really can't. I mean, the equipment is as good as it gets right now.
What would you recommend for someone like Tim or myself as a driver?
Get fitted, number one.
Yep.
Number two, go into the fitting. I'm actually in Florida. I'm going to fit somebody today. Go in, for the average player, go into the fitting and challenge the fitter to let you get numbers with a standard 45-inch club, an old 45 versus today's 45.5 to 3/4, and watch how much better you hit it, how much distance you don't lose. I get troubled when people are trying to handle drivers that are almost 46 inches long. They cannot hit the center of the face. My biggest beef is the golf club is too long, and trying to find the center sweet spot, it's just too long. And most people err in the heel because it is too long. Most people come over the top. It's just too long. I was working with a friend of mine yesterday, and I said, choke down on that driver an inch and a half for me and hit me some. Solid as a rock. Clubs are too long, and it's hard to find that sweet spot.
So what about height, though? Art?
Has nothing to do with it.
Nobody's 6'3", 6'4", doesn't matter?
It depends how good a ball striker they are, Tim. You know, just remember back in the day, you know, Tiger wins the Masters with a 42.75-inch golf club. Three woods are longer than that. You know, and clubs have just gotten way longer. The average on tour is not 45.5. There's some that can handle that 45.5, 46 because they're great ball strikers. They want the extra distance. But for the average player, experiment, and clubs can be built. You add weight to the bottom, you shorten the shaft. They're just really hard to hit the sweet spot. Have them show you the visual of where do you hit it on the face. And if you can hit the sweet spot at that length, use it. I mean, that's what I say. But I don't believe there's a big give up. But you get fit, you see, and you got to like the look, sound, and feel. The shaft is so important when you get fit as well. And fitting becomes more complex, gents, the better ball striker you are. If you're trying to solve an issue, I play golf once a month, twice a month, I fade the ball, then don't, or cut it or slice it, don't fight it. Get yourself a Ping SFT square face technology. Get some of these drivers that are a little bit more draw bias and maybe cut it down an inch and get yourself in play and don't fight it. That's what we like to do.
And we're talking with Art Salinger. Art, you're more than just a golf guy. You love sports in general. And normally you're in Vegas for the Super Bowl. You go there with some friends and have a great week there. Not this year, but what did you think about the game? I have to ask you about watching it. Who you thought was going to win ahead of time?
Well, you have that text. I still save it on my phone. It said like this. You said, are you going to Vegas? I said, not this year. Who do you like? Now, this was on the Thursday before the Super Bowl. I said, Mahomes wins number two. The other team will not be comfortable in chaos, and Kansas City will. The other team will make one big mistake that will cost them, and Mahomes will win it on the final drive.
And yes,
I did bet the money line.
I'm reading his text. That's exactly what it
said. Oh, my gosh.
It's exactly what I said. He'll win it on the final drive. But it's chaos. It's who will handle chaos. So I thought it was, you know, phenomenal entertainment, good game. And, you know, Mahomes is just so good in chaos. And when they were way down, is okay. But as soon as Philly made that big mistake,
Jalen Hurts put it on the ground.
Yeah.
Yep, just one mistake. So, I got that one right, Timmy, this year. That was a good one, and that was a very nice payoff as well.
All right. Hey, Art, where are you in Florida right now, city-wise?
I am in Miami.
You got
Doral fitting today with a friend, and I'll be back in Dallas playing the great Ridgely Country Club tomorrow in about 48-degree weather. I hear it's cold back home.
When you're fitting Donald today, tell him I said hi.
I will not be seeing or fitting Donald. I played the Blue Monster yesterday.
And?
Happy to report, a par an 18.
Yay!
That was nice. And played good on the back nine. They have lengthened some holes out there. There's just a foul ball on that golf course, the double bogey. And the wind was blowing. You get it.
I love that course, though. It's fun.
It's a classic. Yeah. It's a classic. I mean, it really is a great, fun.
I don't know if we told you or not. I went down for the LIV Golf final there and stayed at Doral and hung out for the week. And I had a blast. I mean, just a screaming
blast.
Was
it a fun event?
It was one of the most fun events I've ever been to.
I've heard that. A lot of people have said that. Yeah.
Yeah, it was a blast. And it wasn't as raucous as Scottsdale. I mean, they had bands and a lot going on, but they got quiet when they started playing golf. Then they'd get the music going, then they'd quiet it down again. So it was well done.
And it was a good crowd, too, right?
Like, as fabulous
opposed to what you
crowd.
Might hear, it was a good crowd, you said.
Fabulous crowd. And fact of the matter is there was some fabulous golf played down there. DeChambeau was in his suite. I was sitting there, spent a lot of time with his mom and her best friend, who's a real close friend of mine, is how we got all hooked up there at Doral. And she said, Bryson's up in his suite, and he is devastated. I said, why? Said, because, he bogeyed that last hole. He's lost it for his team. And he was torn up that he had failed his team.
Right. Which is a different concept.
Different concept, right. And that said PGA, that spoke to me. I said, wow, team golf.
Now that you brought up LIV, I got to ask you, Art, before we let you go. I know you're a busy guy and you got to go to your fitting.
No, I'm fine. Please do. I'm glad this came up.
Here we go.
But you're as smart financially as almost anybody I know, is on a par with your golf knowledge, too. But you know about money and creating and all that other stuff. If during your days, and say you're a pro golfer, and somebody comes to you with the money we're talking about here, does it change your life? $100 million. We're not talking about a million or a little change, but $100 million, is it almost impossible to say no to that because of what it can do for you and generations of your family? Or would you be capable of saying no?
Well, it all depends how much I had. At the time, number one. So when you approach Jordan and Justin and some of these other players that are legacy players, and I'm talking legacy, they're Hall of Famers, and they want their name on the wall at Colonial, at Riviera, at the Players' Championship. Again, the person that won at Doral, unfortunately, it's not significant to where it creates legacy. Now, if I was starving or I was not in a good shape, I mean, I'm in Hudson Swafford's position, and I'm a journeyman and I don't know how many I'm going to win. And if I get hurt, I don't know how you'd pass up that money, but just say those exact things. I can't pass this money up. I'm taking it. Don't tell me you're doing it to grow the game. Of course, they have to try to promote what they're doing. I was really surprised with the Joaquin Niemann move. I mean,
I was shocked. I didn't expect that.
I was shocked on that one. Again, they do give up a lot of sponsorships. I mean, I know Bryson got a lot of money, but when you take those sponsorships times and you X them out 5 to 7 years and what they could have made, they're going to play 14 tournaments this year on numerous continents. They got a lot of travel to go to. They got their majors. It's not like they're playing DJ made a ton of money. I worry about the young players that go over, and then when they get a big name and they kick them off, then where are they going to play? They have to go to Asia to play, but how does Harold Varner or anybody look at that kind of cash Pat Perez and all these other players.
Pat Perez came out and said it, Art, what you just said. He said, look, I'm taking the money.
Sure he is, and I get it. And I respect that they can play anywhere they want. I just don't know. It's sad because golf has never been popular. The growth, as you guys know, in the last 5 years of this game has been amazing, especially even the last three. And it's sad that there's so much bickering and all this stuff going on, and we'll see what happens at the Masters if a guy like Rory and Cam Smith or Patrick Cantlay or all these other players. I hate that it's us versus them in a sense.
I do too.
I hate it. Just there can be other leagues that listen. What's going to happen right now? What happens this week? The USFL starts. I don't care about it. Does that mean they shouldn't play? No. It's just. And I'm not going to look for Liv on the CW and try to find out. It doesn't mean anything to me. I want to see who wins at Riv this week. That's what I'm interested in.
Yeah,
that's just well, so maybe I'm ultimate, old school.
Will there be an ultimate meeting of the minds? I mean, do they have to come together and say, okay, it's been an ugly separation, but at some point we got to pull this marriage back together because the fans will dictate that they'll want to see DeChambeau and Dustin and these other guys along with not just at majors. Do you think they'll, because that's what I think. I think they have to get together at some point.
Eventually,
Norman will probably have to back out and be not part of it because there's too much problems with Norman and everybody on the PGA Tour. But at some point we have to get to the where weekly or whatever, we see the best players playing against each other.
They're down 11 figures already. And I mean, the revenue streams aren't there. And I saw online you could play with Brooks Koepka in the Pro-Am and then have dinner with his team, and it's $100,000. And I'd love to know how many of those are getting sold. I don't know. And I don't know where this all ends. You know, players like Smith get their next 20 majors or 18 majors, and then what? It would be great to have them all playing. I don't know how to fix this. That's way smarter than I am. I don't know, Frank, Tim. I just don't know how. All I know is they've made the choice. They can go play. And some players have said, the heck with that. Think about what they offered young Pearson Cootie to come out of college and do. And he said, no, forget it. I'm not interested in it. So I respect both sides' choices. But to me, the legacy stuff is really big. And again, the tour got healthy in a hurry. We'll see how many more Hondas drop away and how many tournaments, when you saw the leaderboard in Hawaii, first leaderboard at Waste Management versus this leaderboard versus Bay Hill Memorial and the like. I was looking at the list of live players of people that would be exempt for Augusta that aren't going to get to play. And it's a difference. It really is.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it continues to play out.
I thought the comment that Bubba Watson made was pretty good, and I'm going to paraphrase it, but he something to the effect that he would apparently have a table outside or something like that at the champions dinner.
Oh, champions dinner. Yeah. He'll be at the kids' table.
Be at the kids' table in the kitchen or outside on the patio.
Yeah.
He and Patrick Reed.
Liv starts when? The 24th at Mayakoba, right?
It does. That's,
Yeah. Right around the corner.
I like Mayakoba.
And I'll tell you what, it's going to be interesting too. You mentioned that, and we talk about the Masters. It will be interesting if a live player wins the Masters, won't it?
Oh Lord,
what if Bubba?
It will not be a surprise if Cam Smith or DJ or Answer or any of these great players
have they had enough at bats? Have they had enough at bats to compete at the Masters right now? Do you think?
I'll tell you a couple things. I don't know about the at-bats, you're right. I think a couple of them have been playing some other tournaments, just to kind of stay sharp. They played in Saudi, some played in Oman and all that. I'm going to tell you one thing about the PGA Tour that's really unique, and you can even ask some of the best players in the world. Come Friday afternoon, the last six holes, when they're near that cut line, I'll tell you what, that is the fortitude and the grind when they grind it out to make a cut, and then they have an amazing Saturday morning 63 or 4, then they come back and they earn that top 10 for that confidence. When you're playing golf and you tee it up and I don't have to fight for a cut on Friday afternoon. I mean, hanging around the cut line, I'm telling you, even for a great player, that means something Friday afternoon. When you tee it up on a live event for 54 holes, I mean, you're making big coin if you shoot 375s in a row and you're not feeling that cut thing coming down the stretch on Friday. And it's It's I think it plays a part. I think they lose a little bit of that. They're still great players. Cam Smith and those guys can win Augusta. They're amazing golfers. Amazing golfers. Yeah. So we'll see.
Yeah.
I hate the hate, boys. I just don't like the hate.
I don't either.
I don't know where the CW is on my dial. I just can't figure it out. I don't know where.
Well, here's the point with CW. One thing that I told Tim. I said the CW has 122 million households.
Households. Okay. Yeah.
It does. Jeez. It's bigger than all the others.
Well, Golf
so
Channel has
Discovery
and it's
Channel.
So is this, 70. And yeah. And it's on basic cable. It's you don't have to pay an upcharge like we do to get right, the Golf yeah. Channel and ESPN Plus and those things, which so we
we'll
all
see.
Have.
Yeah.
So we'll see. I mean, just because they have Buffy the Vampire Slayer and some of those shows doesn't mean that people aren't going to tune to the CW. And I would predict that the first couple of events there's going to be a kind of a let's go see what this is all about type attitude, I think. Yeah. I think they'll get lot of eyes and ears on it. Now, it's who kind of, knows
but it is
after
like you,
that?
But. Like you mentioned, our USFL. I mean, there's the kickoff of XFL. USFL oftentimes has a boom for the first game,
right.
First week
yeah. sure.
or two. And then you look at the last three or four games, and the numbers go down. So that's the consistency, and will people's Frank, probably you're right. There will be some curiosity. Will they stay with it and watch the fourth and fifth
to
and sixth
determined.
And tenth
yeah.
event on CW? You know,
you're
we'll,
right.
We'll find
Timmy,
out.
And, Tim, you're right. You're right. And you mentioned something about the money. Does Messi go take $300 million to play over there for a year?
Seriously.
You know?
Oh, my Lord.
You know, and he's got
I mean,
you're
talking
more
about
life-changing.
It's like, you know, private jets instead of getting on American Airlines. It's, you know, there's a lot of differences.
It's a helipad in your backyard.
It's going to be interesting. It's going to be is all I know. And I agree. We just don't need the hate. We don't need the Patrick Reed and Matt.
We don't need
that's
the hate.
Great during Ryder Cup, but during the tour, you know, you don't need to see that. Having said that, you know, golf sometimes wants to be in a bubble. Most sports have rivalries. Most sports have guys that want to elbow each other and get a little down and dirty. And I think from a fan standpoint, they don't care. I don't think fans are like, you know, we love to see some guys mix it up, not physically, but really kind of. So I think as much as that may not be the genteel world of golf that we know, we might be seeing the evolution and the change of golf and what people really want and whether they care or not about the legacy you're talking about, Art, you know, you're whether right. the fan does right. is what I'm saying. So
how
that's
you,
what's
yeah.
interesting.
I hear you. How will people respond to this TGL and this little video thing on Monday nights that they're trying to create and all this other stuff as well?
Yeah.
You know, I'm wondering
yeah.
about that. We can talk about that on another time. But
yeah, it's certainly geared to a different demographic than
yeah.
the three of us are in.
I just don't see Monahan and Norman in the same room. Sorry. I just
yep,
don't.
No.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah, I think Norman would have to back out for that to kind of move it forward. And that's okay. I think maybe he'd do it, and maybe they'd you know, pay him plenty of money and say, okay, Greg, thanks for getting us this far. Now let's you know move on from here and probably be okay with that. So,
gotcha.
All right, well, Art, we could talk about this and a lot of other stuff, but let's you get back to Doral and the Donald and working on the new the
Boy,
new
wouldn't it be great to see Tiger in one of the last three groups on Sunday?
Absolutely.
You just want it one more time. I mean,
absolutely.
You just do. It just, you know, it just, I mean, wouldn't it, I mean, Brady to make another Super Bowl and Tiger yeah. to maybe come down a fairway at the end. And he won't take a card. He won't ask for the provision. He won't do it. So
no.
we'll see.
Yeah. Quick question,
well,
Art.
Yes,
you
sir.
Said Brady. You said Brady.
Yes.
Rumor is that they are going to sign Brady. Kraft wants to bring Brady back, sign him, and have him formally retire from the Patriots. Have you heard that rumor?
I have not heard that rumor.
I'm sure it happened, though. It's happened a number of times with star players like that have left the
yeah.
team for a year and then come back and –
That's what he said.
Way back when Tony Dorsett did that with the Cowboys, because if
he did.
People don't remember, he went to Denver for a bad year.
Yeah.
Yes.
Emmitt Smith went to the Cardinals
didn't
for
he,
a bad year.
He did go to the Cardinals. That's right.
Did
yes.
he come back and retire from Dallas?
Joe Namath yeah. with the Rams. I mean, there's.
Oh, yeah. that was
so,
terrible.
Yeah, they go back and retire with the team yeah. that yeah. they kind of go to the Hall of Fame with. Yeah, so.
And in memoriam, boys, the most beautiful woman to have ever walked the face of the earth
I was wondering
passed away
Raquel.
Yesterday.
Raquel Welch.
The most gorgeous woman to have ever walked the face of the earth, Raquel Welch.
She lived in Dallas for a long time. She actually, before she got into, she
Did
was
you have
a model
coffee
in
with
Dallas.
Her at your Starbucks there, too?
I didn't remember Raquel back then, but yeah. of a certain generation, Raquel Welch, I got texts from friends of mine who were in their 70s that said,
Me too.
My first true love was Raquel Welch.
Yes.
Like, really? Yeah.
the poster of 10 million BC or whatever it was. Yeah.
Yeah. 1 million BC.
1 million BC. Yeah. Whatever.
Yeah.
Wow.
Look like art on
that
the beach.
That was a great one to finish on. You boys be good. Hit them hard. Hit them straight.
All right.
I'll
take
see
care,
you back
buddy.
In Dallas. Take care, Frank.
Thanks, Artie.
All right.
See you, bud.
Thank
all
you.
Right.
See you later. Art Salinger.
Yeah. Yeah, that was a great one to finish on. That was sarcastic.
That's what he said. We got the Raquel Welch.
What the hell?
Yeah. I'm telling you, she made the front page of the Dallas Morning News.
Well, so she's, she was the first story on every news program this morning.
Was she?
Yeah.
I guess. I'm, I'll say that I don't want to, I mean, you know, she's passed on.
Yeah.
I don't. I mean, she couldn't really act, Frank. I mean, let's be honest.
What you got a point to make?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, it's like, really?
She made a heck of a career out of being beautiful. I will give her that. But I remember seeing her do stuff, and I was like, okay.
Her daughter was absolutely really gorgeous also.
Well, yeah.
I haven't seen her as of late. Don't know. But
she was actually, I'll give you a little history because I read this today. She was born in Chicago, and her dad was from Bolivia. Her mom was English. It's kind of a good combination. And she... then moved and lived in La Jolla for a while, and she got out of high school, and then she moved to Dallas and was a model for a while. She was a pageant.
Beauty pageant queen.
You know? But yeah, that movie, which, by the way, 1 million BC, people don't know it, but if you reference it, most everything you'll see is a picture of her in her, whatever it was, some kind of fur
animal skin
bikini. Yeah, yeah. That's how, that, apparently that's what they wore a million years ago.
When they lay by the pool at Doral?
Ursula Anders, remember?
From the Jaban movies, yeah.
She turned it down, and that's how Raquel Welch became the woman in that movie.
Yeah.
Ursula Anders turned it down. So there you go. There's a little Raquel Welch trivia for you.
You know, Golf Talk America is the fusion of golf, music, sports, entertainment, and horny old men.
Raquel Welch. We should have got Raquel on. That would have been a nice one to have.
You know, she would have been great. You know, and then, of course, Farrah Fawcett filled that poster void for a while, if you remember.
Yeah, with her poster forever and ever. Yeah, that was every anyway. So many kids, I guess, what, back in the 70s had her poster on the wall.
Yeah.
Right? Which, by today's standards, just like
is
Raquel Welch, by today's standards, people are like, what was the big deal? She was in a, you know, beaver pelt bikini? And you're like, well, yeah, but back in 63 or 8 or whenever that came out, kind of a big deal. Okay, don't get funny here, Frank. Music. I know what you're saying.
I'm going to play the music. I got to go.
It had to be a furry animal.
I got to go.
All right, we are done. Boy, are we done. We are cooked.
Overcooked. That's it.
Overcooked. Hey, check out Invited. There's a good segue. Invited.com, formerly Club Corp. If you want to be a member of a club, that is the perfect place to start. Find a club near you, and you get privileges all over the country. Invited.com is the website. They are amazing people and amazing facilities. Over 250 clubs and private clubs all around the country for you at Invited. Thank you to Art Salinger for joining us. Thank you to all of you for listening. As always, we do love each and every one of you. For Frank Bassett, I'm Tim Matthews. Thanks for being with us, and remember to join us next time right here on Golf Talk America.